Up next, CJ Pearson Uncensored, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
Let me be tolerant of where you're from, what you believe, and all these things, but if I'm a conservative, throw me into the fire. My opinions don't matter. I need to shut the hell up. Not for me. That's not what I'm going to be doing. And that has been exactly what I've been fighting against and will continue to fight against. What's up, guys? CJ Pearson here. Welcome to episode 17 of CJ Pearson Uncensored. It has been such a crazy week for me. Literally the craziest week of college for me. I recently decided that I was going to run for SGA Senate here in Alabama. I'm super excited about that, super excited for the opportunity to represent my peers. And when I tell you that this has literally been a real campaign, like this is a real campaign. Now, I'm not saying I didn't expect it to not be a real campaign. Like it's a serious thing, like it should be. But like campus politics at Alabama is like real life politics. Like it really is. Like it is the wildest thing, but it is literally the most fun. So that has absolutely taken up the bulk of my attention since the campaign has started, which it started this past Monday. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited to bring a new perspective to it all, right? You know, people talk about, and Charlie Kirk actually did a really good job at really having some foresight when it comes to this issue. People talk about how all these universities are all so liberal and things like that. I think the way that we actually take back these schools, these universities, is by having more conservatives run for these offices, run to lead student government, run to be SGA president or whatever that may be. Get your voice heard in the places that it matters that they're heard. And I think Charlie actually created an initiative that I actually thought was brilliant when he announced it, was to create this network to actually support conservative SGA candidates. Now, he's not involved in my race at all or anything like that, but what I'm saying is that is what we need to see more of. You know, conservative students ask me all the time, you know, how do I keep my university from drifting left? How do I keep it from becoming so liberal? Well, the way you do it is by running for something. You know, starting a club, doing whatever, make your voice heard. Guys, you know, liberals love to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think there is some merit to diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think those are important things. But I also believe there's some merit to diversity of perspective. I think there's some merit to the inclusion of conservative thought. I think there's some merit to the equity between those on the left and those on the right. And for some odd reason, on college campuses today across the country, we haven't seen that much at all. We haven't seen the diversity, equity, and inclusion that a lot of these folks are talking about. And again, I'm saying that is not a bad thing. People should embrace diversity and equity and inclusion. Who is really against people being equal? No one. No good person is against people being equal. They love to say, like, oh, conservatives hate it, all this stuff. No, I love it. But I'm saying what I hate about it is the double standard that comes with it. Let me be tolerant of you. Let me be tolerant of where you're from, what you believe, and all these things. But if I'm a conservative, throw me into the fire. My opinions don't matter. I need to shut the hell up. Not for me. That's not what I'm going to be doing. And that has been exactly what I've been fighting against and will continue to fight against. You want your DEI, you want your diversity, equity, and all of this stuff. Let's do it. You've got it. But the same token on that same hand, I'm sorry, guys. But you've got to hear me out as well. That's true diversity. That's true inclusion. That's true equity. And I think there's a lot of work to be done there. And I'm excited to see where that goes and where we go from here. But moving past that, guys. So because of how busy of a week it's been and really how slow of a news week it's been relatively, right? I decided let's make this episode a little bit different. Let's do a Q&A. I want to give you guys the opportunity to get to know me better, and what better way to do that than just simply asking me some really cool questions and things like that. And so what I really wanted to do, I posted this on Twitter, I posted this on Facebook, and you guys sent a lot of really, really cool questions that I'm so excited to answer, really excited to hop into it. But what I really wanted to talk about before we even got into that was Tiger Woods. Guys, my thoughts and prayers are with Tiger and his family. I'm from Augusta, Georgia. I'm from Augusta, where there is nothing we hold more dear than the sport of golf. Tiger Woods is an absolute legend in every sense of the word. And I hate to see it, seriously. And I hope he's okay. I don't know if you guys saw like the accident and the aftermath, but his car just absolutely got it. Like it looked terrible. And from what news reports have said, he looks like he shattered his ankle. Will that affect his play? You know, if he's had some leg issues in the past, some issues with his back. But as far as will that affect his play, I guess that remains to be seen. But seriously, guys, I really am holding him up in prayer. And really hoping for the best for him. Also, guys, it's almost time for CPAC, right? It's going to be a really jam-packed event. The president's speaking at it, guys. It will be his first public speech, since leaving the White House in late January. And that's going to be something. Seriously, guys. I think the mainstream media, number one, they want to hate on it. They want to say, oh my God, how dare we give them a platform after January 6th? How dare they? How dare they? How dare they? But these people have had their ratings suffer since this man has left the White House, guys. Honestly, if Donald Trump doesn't give this speech, there will probably be mass layoffs at all of these, at every one of these publications. CNN, MSNBC, they need him to give this speech. So they may hate on it publicly on Twitter. They may throw a little bit of shade at it. But trust me, they are chopping at the bit for Donald Trump to take that stage in the coming days. So just wait on that. But there's a little bit of drama. You know, I don't know what it means. I'm not going to read too much into it. But there seems to be that Mike Pence was also given the opportunity to speak at CPAC, but declined. Why he did that? Well, there's been no comment from the former vice president on that, but definitely something that really stuck out there. Also, too, at CPAC, they plan to honor the great Rush Limbaugh, which again, you know, we talked about him last episode and the impact that he played on our country, and not only our country, but me as a commentator, as an activist, when it came to just really exploring my conservative beliefs and ideals. Like, he was that guy for me. And so I definitely cannot wait to see how they decide to honor Rush and everything like that. And so I'm super excited about that. But also, too, you know, this is going to be happening in Florida, where Governor DeSantis has been making all the right moves. I saw Kelly McEnany tweet a little earlier this week. She described him as one of the most effective executives in the nation right now. And that's been so true. Like, this is a guy who has played all of his cards right in terms of the coronavirus response and vaccines and all of that good stuff. But also just in being a conservative warrior who doesn't give a damn about what the media thinks of him. And that goes a long way with me, because y'all know how I feel about it. You know, I'm tired of conservatives pussyfooting. I'm tired of Republicans being so worried and so scared of living their truth, speaking about what they believe in. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the cowardice. We won't win or save this country through cowardice. There's no chance. And so the only opportunity that we have to really ensure that America wins the day, that the values that our nation was founded upon win the day, that we last the test of time, is by being bold in the way that we advocate for our nation. And that seriously does start by electing leaders and elevating leaders like Governor Ron DeSantis. And that's exactly what you'll hear from me. I'm watching him, guys. I'm paying a lot of attention to him, and you guys should be too, especially as we inch closer and closer to 2024. I know there's been some whispers about the president, President Trump, potentially running again. But if he doesn't, I've got to tell you guys, Ron DeSantis, he's looking awfully good these days. But anyways, let's hop right into it. You guys asked me a lot of great questions, and we're going to jump right into those right after the break. Welcome back, my friends. So we're just going to hop right into all these really cool questions that people have been submitting on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And I am super, super excited about that. So someone just asked me a question here. What made me a Republican? What made me a Republican? So that's a really good question. For me, that started when I was really, really young. It's actually a product of a lot of things and not really a single thing. A part of it is that I just have a natural disposition and personality to being Republican. When I was growing up, I hated being told what to do. I seriously did. I was always really like self-motivated, a really big self-starter. I wanted to do things my way, and I wanted to do things on my own. You know, my favorite thing, my grandparents, my parents, they would all would tell you this, is that I would always say, I know what I'm doing. Like, that was whenever they would, like, try to, like, tell me, like, this is how you should do it, or this is how you should do that, I'd be like, I know what I'm doing. And so if I didn't want them to tell me what to do, why in the hell would I want the government to tell me what to do, right? And so that was the start of the Republicanism and the conservative and me. But it also had to do a lot with my upbringing. And, of course, I preface this by saying that both of my parents are Democrats, never voted for a Republican, didn't vote for Trump, didn't vote for Romney. Like, they are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. Like, they vote straight Democrat. And that's their prerogative. It is what it is. But the thing is that even though they're Democrat, and I tell people this all the time, even though I was raised by Democrats, I was raised by conservatives. I was raised by people who taught me the importance of family and faith. They taught me the importance of morality and having responsibility for your decisions and all of that. They taught me that. They literally made sure that I left the house at 18, going to college, with those values, with that moral system, because they realized and they understood the importance of it all. That's kind of what led me to conservatism. You know, I've always been entrepreneurial. And also, too, is like, for me, I think a lot, you know, people always talk about systemic racism and all this stuff on the left and how people of color have been historically wronged, you know, in this country. And there is some truth and merit to that, right? Like, black people went through slavery, segregation, all those things. Those were bad things. Objectively, any person left or right will acknowledge that. But I don't believe the solution, the remedy to those historical failings, those wrongs, is by making people dependent and slaves to government. Because the question that you then have to ask is, like, why are we remedying or seeking to remedy slavery by creating and cultivating just a new type of it, right? We should be cultivating independence. We should be giving people of color, black people, the tools that they need to create businesses, to create wealth, to create a legacy, to pass on to their children. This is the historical wrongs that their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and their great-grandparents' grandparents had to go through are never repeated again. And you don't do that by creating more chains. You do that by cutting those chains and getting rid of them. Someone said, this is just a funny one, you know, how am I doing in school? Pretty good. I made Dean's List this past semester. Still working hard this semester. Definitely a lot different this semester because we do have a lot more in-person classes. And I'll acknowledge this. So I complained a lot about Zoom classes. And I still think that I would rather be in the classroom. But boy, did Zoom classes like baby us. Because I could literally hop on my Zoom in my bed or wherever I am. I could literally be at lunch and I would just let my Zoom play while I'm out at some restaurant with some buddies, with some friends. And it would be more than fine. Cannot do that anymore, unfortunately. You know, I have to walk to class or Uber to class, wherever, depending on where that class is. And I have to get out of my bed. I have to get ready every single day and all these things. And boy, am I missing first semester just because of how easy it was in terms of, like, okay, all I had to do was just hop on a Zoom, click a link, and then boy, there you go. I was in class. Definitely do not have that luxury this semester, but it is what it is. Someone said, a year from now, where do I see America? Three bullet points they asked for. Number one, I see a red America. I do. And a year from now, it'll be 2022 midterm elections. I think people are going to realize that they elected an absolute, you know, person with just no idea of how to run a country, really. You know, a person who's quite literally asleep at the wheel when it comes to governing this nation. And they're not going to deal with the high gas prices. They're not going to deal with the tax hikes. They're not going to deal with this limitless just oppression of our freedom due to COVID because of hysteria and fear-mongering. They're going to be over it. And they're going to realize what they're missing. And I think that we're going to see a really big course correction in terms of our governance. Also, too, I think you're going to see kind of people a lot less politically correct. You're going to see a big rebellion against cancel culture. And I think you're already starting to see it. Maybe not out in the open, people, you know, really going out of their way to defend these people, but you're seeing it clearly with what just happened with Morgan Wallen. Now, I think what Morgan Wallen did was wrong, and I'm not going to defend his comments by any means. But at the same time, look what happened after all the backlash. His album sales went up, what, 300%? And from what I understand, like, I have had conversations with tons of people, and they're like, you know, I don't like what Morgan did. I would never say it myself. I don't even think that he should have said it, but I'm tired of people trying to cancel people for one mistake that they make. And I think that there's some merit to that, right? Because it's like, you know, for a long time, we talked about the importance of grace, the importance of giving people the opportunity to be better, to learn to do better. But yet, for some odd reason, we find ourselves in a place where people now make one mistake and they're written off. They're told that they don't deserve a well-being, you know, a life anymore. And I think there are a lot of people who don't really agree with that. A fun question here, PBJ or grilled cheese. Fun story about this. I actually hadn't had a grilled cheese until my sophomore year of high school. It was pretty good, but gotta say, sigma tradition, I'm gonna go with PB&J. Even though I have not had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in also years, probably not since like elementary school, which is surprising because I actually do really like peanut butter. Favorite food? It depends. So I actually really like tuna. Tuna, like canned tuna for like a random like snack is really good for me. I really like it. Steak if it's for dinner. Big ribs guy too. If I'm like snacking, just a couple grapes. I'm a big grape guy. Favorite class I've taken at Bama so far. Actually, my Colonel Justice class, which funny story or cool story about that, is taught by the number one rated professor in the country. And I'm pre-law as well. I've always kind of thought about, you know, going to law school. And so someone said, favorite non-political pastime, fishing. I really love fishing. It's always so soothing, so chill. And it's a really good time for me to decompress, especially when I am just like always working, always doing something, working on some new project. It's a great way to decompress, a great way to just, you know, really just calm down. So, and the adrenaline rush when you actually just reel in that bass, you love it. Someone said, why do I support white supremacy? You know, I'm going to assume that you're a liberal, that you're a Democrat who asked this question. And I think that's a fair guess, right? You're asking me why I support white supremacy, yet I just supported the president, Donald Trump, who brought about the lowest black unemployment rate in our nation's history, criminal justice reform, economic empowerment zones, which brought in commercial investment into inner cities that actually benefited black and brown communities disproportionately. You know, it was intended, targeted to benefit those communities. I also saw a president that elevated people like a black surgeon general. He had Ben Carson in his cabinet. And so if I really support white supremacy, I'm really confused as to how any of those things are indicative of someone who really is supportive of white supremacy. But for some reason, you support the Democrat Party, the party of Jim Crow, the party of the KKK, the party that literally was founded upon the bedrock of racism, founded to protect and defend the institution of slavery. And so until you reckon with the past of your party, I don't want to hear a damn thing you have to say about who I support today. Okay? Someone said, can I be the next president of the United States? Unfortunately, no. Bit too young. I think I have, 16 more years before that can happen. And we'll see what happens from that point. But a little bit of time down the road. How am I enjoying the University of Alabama? Love it here. Absolutely the best school in the country. If you're listening to this, come to UA. Come to Alabama. If you're a conservative student listening to this, come to Alabama. Definitely one of the more conservative universities in the country. If you're looking for a place where you're going to find a lot of people who have a lot of shared values as yourself, you're definitely going to get that here. Are there liberals here? Yes, there are liberals everywhere. I will tell you that I've had, you know, an issue here and there. But as far as like feeling at home and having a community of people who, I see a lot of myself in, I've definitely found that here at Alabama. And that is, a dime a dozen these days when it comes to colleges. So if you're looking for that big school, you want the traditional college life kind of vibe, but you also still want to go to a place where you feel as if you can be safe to be vocal and passionate about the things in which you believe, and you're on the right side of the aisle, definitely look at Alabama. It's a great place to be, for sure. Someone said, are there any concerns on the Alabama football team? There definitely are, for sure. I'm actually friends with quite a few football players, and they're great guys, and on and off the field. So that's one of the cool things. Another thing, going back into Alabama, you definitely get to hang out with a lot of cool athletes who are going to go do some crazy things one day. Do I invest in crypto? I don't. I've looked at Bitcoin. I'm waiting for it to drop. You know, hopefully it drops soon. I'm sure everyone who invests in Bitcoin doesn't want it to drop, but I kind of want it to drop so I can hop in the market. But as of now, I've not invested in Bitcoin. Guys, these are really good questions, and I love getting the opportunity to do this because I feel like sometimes it's just like, it's me talking about a topic. We don't get to talk enough. We really don't get to see the sides of me outside of politics. And so whenever I get like to just answer questions, you know, that aren't about politics, it's always super, super fun. So where do I see myself in 5 years? So in 5 years, what? How old will I be? I'll be 22, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'll be 23. Guys, I am not a math major. I'm in politics for a reason. Anyways, 5 years, probably law school. If not law school, working on a presidential campaign, because I actually have the benefit of graduating during election year. So either one of those things, I'd be very, very happy to be doing. What's next for trying to mobilize the younger voters to vote for pro-liberty candidates? Okay. So, oh my God, this actually goes hand in hand. There's another question I think really goes hand in hand. Why won't the Republican Party, who claims individual liberty and states' rights, support legalizing recreational medical marijuana? Yeah, I agree. Here's the deal. Weed is going to get legalized sooner or later. I think it's very much like gay marriage in that sense. Like, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. I think it's like, for me, as a conservative, I can't sit here and say, I love limited government, I love states' rights, and all of these things, and tell you that you can't smoke a little bit of weed if you don't want to smoke some weed. All right, what you do with your body, in that sense, you're not affecting anyone but you. You know, it's not like abortion where like there's another living being inside of you. If you want to smoke weed, that choice is affecting you and you alone. And so I'm not gonna deal with that and tell you that you can't do what you do. You're grown, and you want to make grown decisions. Go ahead, make grown decisions. That is your prerogative. That is your choice. And what we can do, we regulate it, we tax it, we make sure that we put a lot of these cartels out of business. I think we're going to see a crime reduction because of it. I think that is a win for a lot of things that conservatives believe in. And it's been a little bit weird for me to see certain conservatives be a little bit weary of it. But I think it should definitely be legalized. Question prior to that was like, how do we mobilize younger voters to vote for conservative and pro-liberty candidates? It's by being true to our values, supporting things like recreational marijuana legalization and medical marijuana legalization, or even at the bare minimum, reschedule the damn drug, right? Like, there hasn't even been the ability to do enough research on the drug because of how regulated it is. And I think that there would be a lot for science to gain and everyone else if we were just even able to research the drug a little bit more. And so, you know, hopefully we can even get that done. That'd be huge. But guys, these are some really good questions, but looks like we're kind of running out of time. So wrap it up, and I'll see you guys after this. Welcome back, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this Q&A episode. Thank you so much for all of your really, really cool questions. We definitely have to do this again one day, and we definitely will. It was super, super fun. Guys, join us back here next week, next Thursday, and can't wait to see you there. I'll see you guys. Bye. Hey guys, CJ Pearson here. Join us right here on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts for the same hard-hitting truth, because we'll never stop fighting for you right here on CJ Pearson Uncensored.
CJ Pearson Uncensored, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.